All right, take your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I waited a long time to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3 and following. You say, I don't have a Bible, Matt, and so I understand that. For the longest time, I would be in the same category, and I certainly wouldn't know where to turn to, even if you asked me to turn to some place in the Bible. And so in front of you, there's a pew Bible, and there's a table of contents, and you can find a page number, and you can get there, or you can take your phone, and you can download our Team FBC app. That's what it is, Team FBC. Download that. It has a Bible section on it, and you'll just scroll through there until you find 2 Corinthians, and then you click on that, get to chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. We start a new series today entitled Brain Games, and I'm so excited for what we're going to be learning for the next 4 weeks. And if you don't know where we're going with this, I think before today is out, you'll have a really, really good understanding and hopefully a lot of excitement moving forward. Let me start off by telling you a little story to intro this, to launch this. About a year ago, I'm back home in Charleston, and my sister and I, Lauren, inside, we had a free night and said, hey, what do you want to do? And she says, well, let's go see a movie. And I said, sure, let's go see a movie. And I don't know, there are times where there are some more options than others. I was in a particular time, there wasn't a whole lot of options. So there was this one movie played about a clown. It's kind of spooky. Entitled It. It's a remade movie. And so I said, Lauren, let's go see It. Everybody's talking about It. Let's go see It. And we get there, and it's a movie, and so every movie's better with popcorn, correct? Every movie's better with a Slurpee. And so I get both, and I go sit down, and I'm in a room filled with mostly adults. I mean, a lot of adults and, you know, some teenagers, but, I mean, there's safety in numbers, right? Well, the movie starts going on, and I'm introduced to this, like, really creepy clown. I think the name is Pennywise. And about 30 minutes into it, I'm kind of hooked into it. I kind of forget my surroundings. I forget I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm kind of forgetting that I'm in, you know, God's country of, you know, America. I'm forgetting all that is real, and I lose myself for a moment in what is not real. And I find myself as one who's running away from a clown, mind you, in a neighborhood that I'll never go to, much less hang around a house I wouldn't even get close to. And I'm in the middle of this experience, and I find myself, my adrenaline's kind of pumping. And I find myself, I'm kind of sweating a little bit. I'm eating a little faster pace. You know, my Slurpee's about to the bottom. And I remember thinking to myself, get it together. You're in a movie. So I tried to like self-talk myself into this. Taylor, you'd whip a clown's tail if he ever messed with you or someone you love. Get it together. Well, that didn't really work. I tried looking around, seeing all the people around me. I'm like, hey, a clown can't take all of you. You're fine. And all of this like talking myself out, I still found myself emotionally attached to a movie, feeling fear when I was totally safe. Ain't that crazy about the brain? I mean, as smart as we are, as much as our brains are able to do, there are times when our brains do not register what is real and what is fake, what is truth and what is a lie. And as a result, we find ourselves in places, not just in movie theaters, but in life, where we're not seeing clearly, thus we're not feeling correctly, because there are some brain games going on, and it's not working for us. But what if I told you today that you can play the game differently? What if I told you that the brain games that you've been playing, there's a different script, there's a different playbook, and if you use this playbook, you would not only be able to overcome a clown, but that you might be able to overcome yourself, that you might be able to overcome life, and it might look a whole lot different for you when you run these plays rather than the ones you've been accustomed to. Well, I hope that might get your attention a little bit to see what God's word has to say today. I'm grateful for the word of God. I'm grateful that there's truth here. And I wanted to say about truth. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, my truth is. And somebody else says, well, that's just her truth. Someone says, well, that's just his truth. And we've kind of like dumbed down the word truth to where like whatever your truth is, well, that's true. And whatever your truth is, that's true. And let me just say, we do this for people and in our pop culture, we do this for people. I don't think we're doing people any favors when we do that. Let me just tell you, there's one truth. It's what God says. That's what truth is. It's not what you declare truth to be. It's not what I declare truth to be on my own or on your own. Truth is what God's word says. And Jesus was asked, what is truth? And Jesus responded that the truth is what God says. God's word is truth. Later, Jesus would say this. He said, if you know truth, you will be set free. Now, there's not a single person here who doesn't want to be living a life of freedom. Everybody wants to be free. You know, I want to ride, man. Sally, ride. I want to be free. Jesus says there's only one way you can be free. And he says you got to know truth to be free. And so all of us, we live from different times in addresses that would not be defined as freedom. So that tells us we must not in those times really be believing truth. Because Jesus, the God who does not lie, said, if you know truth, you will live free. So what is the opposite of truth? The opposite of a truth would be a lie. So if truth equals freedom, then a lie would equal bondage. And so that's either the address you can live, one of freedom, or the address of bondage. And it all depends upon what's going on in your mind. What are you believing? Is it truth or is it a lie? Well, that will tell you what address you've signed up for. Jesus said, if you know truth, you'll be free. The opposite of truth would be a lie. And hold on to that, it will lead you into bondage. With all that, I want you to introduce you here to a letter that Paul was writing to a particular church a long time ago. And he was trying to help people like us with brain games. He says here in chapter 10, verse 3, he says something that may not sound understandable now, but you'll get it as we go through this. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You say, well, what does that mean? Walk in the flesh. Well, he's just saying, listen, we all live in the natural world. We live in a world where we can touch. We live in a world where we can taste. We live in a world where we feel. We're all physical beings. But what you're going to see here today is the Apostle Paul is going to teach us and show us that just as much as the physical world is real, there's a spiritual world that's also real. Now, we don't give a whole lot of credit to that. We kind of become mind numb to that. That we just think we are physical creatures. I'm just here to tell you, you're a physical creature. You are an emotional creature, and you are also a spiritual creature. And you're just as much spiritual as you are emotional. You're as much physical as you are spiritual. You're complex. And you live in a world that's not just physical. You live in a world that's also spiritual. And Paul says, though we walk in a physical world, we're in a war, and this war cannot be won. The game cannot be overcome if you just wage it in the physical. You say, what are we talking about war? I mean, what do you mean war? So if you read more in those scriptures, we just finished a Bible study that our women, about 60 of them, did on a Wednesday night entitled The Armor of God. And they talked about in this Armor of God series, they talked about spiritual warfare. Now, sometimes you go to church and you're like, man, that sounds all hokey, and that's why I don't like going to church. Man, when you start talking about that stuff, that's just like, that sounds like too spooky and too like storytelling. And I'm just going to tell you, I get it. If I didn't know what I know and I'm hearing that kind of stuff, I get how you're thinking. But as someone who does know what he knows, who has read the scriptures, who does understand, has come to the place where I do understand what truth says, I want to tell you emphatically, there is a real other world. It is not seen by your eyes, but it is real as everything that your eye sees. It is a spiritual world, and in that world, there is prices to be paid. There are names being taken. There are films that are being studied, and there is a war that is raging. Now, to be ignorant of that, you might think, I don't want to know about it. That's fine. You can choose that route. It will not stop the war going on. And the objective is to take you out. In this war, this spiritual war, it is here to take you out. It is taking place even right now. Can you feel it? Do you understand it? You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean taking place right now? See, like right now, vying for your attention. If you don't believe me, vying for your attention, there's God, the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to you and he's saying, hey, you listen to what he has to say. What he has to say, he is telling you truth. That's what God is saying to you right now. Listen to what that guy's saying. He's telling you truth. But listen, you're also tempted to think about what you're going to do for dinner. Some of you are thinking, did I really turn the crock pot on? And you're going through your mind and you're thinking about that. You say, well, that's just ordinary. You don't make it more than what it is. I'm just telling you, whatever could distract you from taking in what God has to say to you in this very moment, I'm telling you, it's a pull, it's a tug in the opposite direction where God wants you to go. God wants you to hear. God wants you to embrace. God wants you to receive. God wants you to own what he has for you right now. And any and everything, from the simplest to the smallest to the most innocent, he will try to distract and to get you off course where the blessing he has for you, it might be robbed and taken away from you. That's spiritual warfare. That is taking place all the time. The Apostle Paul says, though we walk in this natural world, we are in this other world where war is taking place. And he says, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, you can try to wage war according to the flesh. I've done it many times. I did it in my experience with it. When I was watching old Pennywise invite me down into a gutter, I tried to war that in the flesh. You know how I tried to do it in the flesh? I did some self-talk. As I'm popping the popcorn in my mouth, as I'm drinking my Slurpee, I'm saying to myself, and again, I'm not trying to pick on any Nancys, but I say to myself, I say, Nancy, pick up your skirt. Don't be afraid of this. It's a clown for crying out loud. Okay? That's self-talk. That's human speak. That's trying to deal with fear, which is incredibly spiritual, in the natural. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The Apostle Paul says here, we, speaking of those who follow Jesus, we ought not to wage war like that. He says, therefore, in verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not of the flesh because the flesh can't overcome the spiritual realm. Only the things in the spiritual realm can do service and justice for us as followers of Jesus in the spiritual realm. So he says, we have weapons. Now again, you don't have to know a whole lot about the Bible just to read common English. Weapons is plural. There's an S on it. He said, well, what are our weapons? I don't know about these weapons. What's our weapons that we have in dealing with this warfare that we find ourselves in? What are the weapons? Well, again, going back to the Bible study that our ladies went through, they learned about the armor of God. That was the whole study. In the 6-7 weeks, they were a part of that, the armor of God. So there's the helmet of salvation, that's to protect your head. There's the breastplate of righteousness, that's to protect your heart. There's the belt of truth. There's the sandals of peace. There's the shield of faith. You say, well, man, all those sound like defensive. They are. They're to protect you. But there's one offensive weapon, and it's called the sword of the Spirit. One of the weapons of our warfare is the word of God. That's why it's so important for you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be reading God's word. You see, if the only exposure you ever get to what God says is when you come here and listen to me, I mean, listen, as fast as I talk, as much as I try to get to you, as much as I try to be a fire hydrant and make sure you get some in your mouth, but at least you leave wet, listen, that's not enough. That will never be enough for you to deal with what you are dealing with, whether you're aware of it or not, in the spiritual realm. You need daily bread. And that daily bread is not just to give you a warm fuzzy. That daily bread is not just to give you some goosebumps. That daily bread is to equip you for the war that you're in where the stakes are high. Jesus, when he was tempted, you go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, or the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was tempted, the Bible says he was fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. You're talking about getting hangry, all right? Some of you, if you miss a meal, you're ready to sin. Jesus did it for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the enemy comes up to Jesus, Satan himself. And by the way, I'm like, for Satan himself to be the one tempting you, you got to be like on the radar. Like Satan is not like an infinite being. He's not like God can be in every place at every time. Satan is a created being. He is a spiritual being, but he can only be at one place at one time. So like when you say to yourself, man, Satan was just getting all over me today. I just don't want to tell you. I doubt it was probably Satan. Could have been one of his other cohorts. Could have been another, you know, one of his other demons. But like Satan, like I'm thinking he's going after the big guns. You know, like Jesus, like Billy Graham's of this world, right? Well, so Satan was going after Jesus, of course, and on this particular day, Jesus is hungry. By all means, he's hungry. 40 days have passed, and Satan says to him, hey, how about you use your power? You're God, right? How about you use your power? You say to one of these stones, turn into bread. Make it happen. Satisfy yourself. Well, Jesus knew that would not be right to utilize his God-given power to selfishly meet his need. And so what did Jesus do? You say, well, did Jesus reason with him? Jesus probably really good reasoning. Yeah, he's a really good reasoner. But he didn't reason with him. He said, did Jesus like try to teach the devil a lesson? Because Jesus is a great teacher. They called him rabbi. Did he try to teach a lesson? No. But he was a great rabbi. He could teach like none other. So what did he do? Here's what he did. He took his weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and he spoke the word of God back to the very one who was tempting him. And he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Which begs the question, if Jesus, God in the flesh, in his hour of temptation, if he needed the sword of the Spirit, if he needed the word of God to overcome, how much more do you and I need God's word in the spiritual battles that we face? For the problem is, the average Christian, they're ignorant of God's word. They don't know God's word. I'm challenging you. I'm pleading with you. Make a change. Set aside some time where you like open the Bible, you open your Bible app, and you actually read God's word. Don't just depend upon a Sunday morning at Team FBC. This is not sufficient. This is supplemental. You need it, and you need to eat yourself. He said, Matt, it's plural here. Weapons. So if one of the weapons is the word of God, well, what's the other weapon? I remember one theologian, she said it this way, and I thought to myself, I will quote this the rest of my life. She said, one of the weapons is certainly the word of God, but our other weapon, well, that would be a conversation with God. That would be prayer. And she goes on to say, when you combine the two, you get a stick of dynamite in the spiritual warfare that you are in. He said, what does it mean to combine the word of God with prayer? Well, first of all, listen, I don't want to like insult anybody here, but some of you may not know what prayer is. Like, just know this. Prayer is just a conversation with God. You know, some people ask me to pray for them because they do not pray for themselves and they do not trust that even if they were to try to pray, that it would even work. Can I just tell you, when you sincerely choose to talk to God, I promise you, the God of creation is listening to you. Like, take that thought in. Like, he's listening. You have his attention. He wants to hear from you. You have access, especially if you are a child of God. You know Jesus. He's your father. You're his son, you're his daughter. He's listening. This theologian says, when you combine a conversation with God, prayer, and the word of God, you combine the two, well, then you've got something divinely powerful. I mean, spiritual TNT. Dynamite, baby. You've got it. You say, well, what would that look like? I'm so glad you asked. Great question. I don't know what sins you struggle with. I don't know what trips you up. I've got a list. I bet you do too, if you're honest. One of the things I struggle with that I find is worry. Anybody struggle with worry, stress, anxiety in the last hours? Last week, right? I mean, if you haven't, then, you know, all right, then maybe you've got other sins you struggle with, like lying, you know, but so if that's something that trips us up, you know, stress and worry, anxiety, well, Well, the Bible clearly says don't do those things. You know, and in another letter that Paul was writing to a different church in Philippi, he says, hey, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. So that's like a commandment. Don't do it. Well, that's not really all that helpful, though. That's like, you know, the slogan, just say no. Well, if it was so easy, let's just all say no, right? Like, so do not worry. Well, thank you. I mean, have you ever been like talking to your mom and dad? Okay, so a lot of our students here, and they're telling like a big problem. Like they're really, really stressed out about maybe school, about a relationship. I don't know if she's going to call me back. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, who I'm going to go to, you know, prom. What all that goes on in students' lives. And if you ever like had this vulnerable moment and like this moment of insanity, like I'm going to talk to my mom and dad about this. And like, you're just like, I'm worried about this. And if mom and dad have ever said this to you, like just smile real big. Don't raise your hand, but just look at me and smile. If they've ever said, hey, you don't have to worry about that. Stop worrying about it. Oh, that's what I needed to hear. Thank you. That's my fault. All my problems are solved now. That's what I need to hear. Just stop worrying about it. Thank you. Thank you. I knew I needed to talk to you. It's not that easy, right? So in this like thing that keeps us down, in this thing that keeps us from living free, worry, anxiety, what would it look like to take the weapons of our warfare and to go into that spiritual battle to take it on? Word of God and prayer. So like, I know like this is a common struggle in my life. So I've got certain scriptures that I have put to memory that when I start being tempted to worry and to stress, I take these scriptures and listen, I not only think about them in my mind, I quote them back to God. I talk to God about it. I take the word of God and I speak it back to the God of the word. And the God of the word confirms in my heart what I'm saying is true, reminding me he's good, he doesn't lie, and I can take it to the bank that's going to work. So one of my scriptures, man, is this scripture in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And here's what it says. It says, the mind that is stayed upon thee shall rest in perfect peace. That's an incredible promise. Man, the mind that is stayed upon Jesus, the mind that is fixed upon Jesus, the God who does not lie says, you will rest in perfect peace. Not like, you know, I got a peaceful ease. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a perfect peace, man. Forget the eagles. I'm talking about God's peace that is perfect. So you say, well, Matt, what if it doesn't work for you? Like, you are able to ask those questions in church. It's okay. So, Matt, you ever done that didn't work for you? Uh-huh. But the problem is not with the promise. The problem's with me. It just shows me my mind's still not stayed upon him. Because the God who does not lie says, Matt Taylor, when you put your mind, you rivet your mind, you focus your mind upon me, your address you will live at is perfect peace. And so if I'm not in perfect peace, I need to take my weapons, the word of God, prayer, access to God, combine them. I speak it to God. God affirms it back to me. And if I really embrace it, Jesus says, my address is going to be perfect peace. You say, well, when it's not, what's going on? Temptation is, if I can just fix that, I'll feel better. If I can just work that out, I'll feel better. If I can just solve that problem, I will feel better. If I can just control that, I will feel better. And being human, we all want to do that, right? Has anybody ever, like, challenged you and told you that you might be a control freak? Huh? Anybody? Somebody says amen. Somebody says, oh, me. You know, I mean, like that's something, like, many of us struggle with. And it's with the best of intentions. We want to take care of this. We want to take care of her. We want to take care of him. We want to take care of them. We want to take care of that. And we think, if I could just do all of that, then I'll be at peace. God says, no, that's not how you get peace. That's not how you get peace. How you get peace is that you take your mind off of him and off of her and off of them and off of that. You take your mind off that. You rivet your mind upon me. And when you do so, perfect peace will be your address. And so when you find yourself not at perfect peace, it's not because of him and her and them and that and those. It's because your mind's not upon him. That's just a sneak peek into how we can run a different playbook. And all of that, guys, is done in our brains. So victory and defeat, freedom and bondage, it is all done within the 3 inches between your ears. That's where it's won, that's where it's lost. That's where you enjoy, or that's when you're marginalized. He says it's divinely powerful, and it says for the destruction of, follow this, fortresses. I love this. I couldn't wait to get this part in the sermon today. Fortresses. Do you know in your Bibles, it's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. Only time. Now, anytime that comes up, like when I'm told and a commentary tells me, like, hey, this is the only time that word is used in the New Testament. I'm like, whoo, well, that must mean something. Do you know in your Old Testament it's used 49 times? 49 times the word fortress is used. You say, what is a fortress? My Missouri friend's going to love this. Hey, what's a fortress? A fortress is a stronghold. A fortress is a high and exalted stronghold that you wage war from. So for all my Missouri friends, I think God gave me this. It's a deer stand, baby, okay? That is what a fortress is, okay? It's a deer stand. You say, why is a deer stand up high and not on the ground? Because there's an advantage to being high. When you're taking on somebody, you'd rather be taking them on from Anthony's viewpoint than from Matt's viewpoint. It's better to look down on the adversary rather than being looking up to the adversary. Everybody knows this in warfare. Everybody knows this in a fight. It's better to take on your adversaries from the top of the hill rather than trying to take the hill. All through the Old Testament, the word fortresses is used. David would use it when he was running from King Saul. And it says he would talk about how he would find strongholds, or he would turn to God as his stronghold. Now you need to know that so you can understand the next verse. Next verse 5, it says, for we demolish, or we destroy speculations and every, what's the two words? Lofty thing. Every fortress, every lofty thing, every speculation, every imagination, every fear, everything that's exalted in our minds that brings the knowledge of God low. Paul says, we destroy and we bring those down. And he ends it and says, and we take all of those thoughts and we take them captive to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you what that looks like. It looks like this. Whatever the lie is that's high and exalted in your mind, Paul says, we take that lie, we bring that low, and we take what God's word says, the knowledge of God, the truth of God, and we exalt it in its place. Listen, this is not a decision you make on a Sunday morning. This is a decision you make on a Sunday afternoon. This will be a decision you'll make on a Sunday evening. This will be a decision you make on a Monday morning. This will be a decision you make on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And this will be another decision you will have to make Monday morning at 8:05. This is a constant battle within your mind. But this is how brain games works. That's why there's no off season in the Christian journey. That's why there's no halftime. That's why it's 24/7. You don't get a break. And to think you get a break, all you're allowing is things that shouldn't be exalted in your mind to be exalted. And when those things that are not of God are exalted, the things of God, they decline. And here's the spiritual principle. Whatever's high in your brain will control your life. You understand that? Whatever is exalted in your brain will control your life. It will control your feelings. It will control your fears. It will mark your path. It will set your course. Whatever is exalted in your mind will determine your life. It will determine your relationships. It will determine your walk with God. It will determine the way you parent. It will determine the life you live and the legacy that you will leave. It is all because of what takes place in the mind. Whatever is exalted is what is going to control. The Apostle Paul says we have to destroy these speculations. We've got to destroy these things that are of lies, of untruth natures. And we have to exalt in its place our dear stands of truth. Not ours, but God's. What does God say? So I want you to pick right now the area of your life that you've been a loser in more times than you care to mention. What's the area in your life right now that you find the most struggle right now. What's been frying your bacon crispy? What's been messing you over for a long time? What's been kicking your tail and laughing at you in the process? Whatever that is, here's my challenge to you this week. Would you go get your Bible? And maybe with a computer, maybe with your phone, with the help of Google. Of all the things Google isn't, Google can help you with a few things. Hey, like type in, what does the Bible say about depression? What does the Bible say about addiction? What does the Bible say about working with very mean people? And go through the scriptures. Like, go in your Bible, whatever it leads you to. Like, go in your Bible and, like, read those and, like, pick out a few that you're going to own. Then go write it on a card. You know, make a note to yourself on your phone, a reminder. Put a little sticky note on, in your mirror. But get it in front of you. Get it at least in front of your eyes on a normal, regular basis and ask God to help it get from your eyes into your mind. Get into your brain to run a different play. And maybe, just maybe, as you do that consistently by the grace of God and not too far away, that very truth can be written on your heart, become part of you. And I tell you where you need to bring that out. It's not when you're tempted. It's not when you go to work and you have to work with those mean people. That's not the time to decide, you know, what deer stand is operational at the moment. You work with mean people, you work with challenging people, you work with a boss that you don't even think, you know, God really likes, whatever. The time to deal with that is not at work. The time to deal with that is before you ever get to work. It's in the morning. You say, Lord, you know the environment I work in. You know the people that are challenging to love. And I'm honest, I don't like them. I feel used. Tell them. Just talk to them. It's prayer. It's powerful. But God, here's the scriptures I believe you've directed me to. And I'm going to read these back to you. That may be where you start. You just read them back to God. Read them back to the God of the Word. And maybe, because you're a smart person, you could do this. You eventually put it in memory. And so as you wake up on a Monday morning, it's work time again. Before you ever get to the challenging environment, you say to God, God, here's the scriptures. And you said, if I do this, then you will do that. You said, this is who you are. This is what I'm going to trust you with. And so before I'm ever tempted, before I'm ever challenged, already exalting my mind is truth. I'm going to be good because you're good. I'm going to be good because you're large and in charge. I'm going to be good because you cannot lie. I'm going to be good because you're a good, good father. And you do not lie. And you renew your mind with that. All day long, you renew your mind with that. You renew your mind with that. You renew your mind with that. And you say, well, that may not change everybody around me. And that's the point. It probably won't. But your job is not to change everybody around you. Your job is to do what? Change yourself. The hardest person to lead is you. I'm telling you, it'll change you. And she might still be a she. And he might still be a he. And them, God help them all, right? But you. Oh, you're different. Because in the brain, you've now exalted a dear stand of truth that you can take on whatever's around you and in front of you. So whatever yours is, whatever your trip up, whatever your besetting sin, whatever your struggle is, whatever's been robbing you and stealing from you, whatever has been minimizing and marginalizing the joy and the peace and the life that you thought you were signing up for. I'm telling you, the Word of God addresses it. There's encouragement to find. There's comfort to find. Search for it. You say, Matt, I'd rather you just tell me. Look here. Quit being lazy. Go find it yourself. Figure it out. This is your life, man. This is your life. This is your life. You just got one. There's no second chance with this. Stick dry. Don't just fight hard. Fight biblically. The war that's going on, don't just try to man up. That's not going to be sufficient. You got to know truth. And Jesus said, if you know it, I guarantee you freedom. You want it? come get you some. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. Once again, just to be reminded of the reality, the world we live, there's one we can see, there's one we can't see. There's one we think is all there is. Today we've been reminded, some have been told for the first time. There's one just as real, and it's just as much at work. Father, I'm asking that for every person here who claims to be a believer in Jesus, I'm asking that you would help them this week to search the scriptures, to help them in their war, their battle that they have lost. We have lost way too much. That we would find this new playbook and we would go for deer stands of truth, that we would go for strongholds where there's truth. The old fortresses, they would be demolished and new fortresses would be raised, and there we would find healing, and there we would find a new beginning, and there we would find hope and encouragement and comfort and grace. So for every Christian here, would you do that? Say that to Jesus right now. Jesus, I will do that. This week, I will search. And I will find the scriptures that I need to put in my arsenal to help me in the war that I'm in. Would you say that to Jesus right now? There are some of you, and you're still trying to figure this out. Some of you, this might be the very first time you've ever been to church. You have never heard anything like you've heard today. And you're just thinking, I don't even know where to begin. Can I just tell you, the place where you begin is a personal relationship with Jesus. The reason why you need that is because you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from God. God knew that, and he didn't leave you without hope. He sent his son to carry away your sins. We sang the song earlier, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today, he is the Lamb of God who wants to take away your sin. And all it takes is for you to believe that when he died upon the cross, he was dying for your sin, that you believe he did it for you. That's when the gospel becomes personal, and that is where biblical faith begins and a real relationship with Jesus starts. So all it takes is you to open your heart and say, I believe. It's a prayer. It's a cry of a heart. It's a desperation of a heart. And you right now, just to Jesus, you can say, Jesus, I believe what that guy's saying. There's so much I don't know. There's more I don't know than what I do know. But what I do know is I'm a sinner, and I do believe. I think I get it, that you do love me and that you died for my sin. You took my punishment. You, in my place, died. And you rose again. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Ask him right now. Come into my heart. I promise you, he is doing that right now, and he is there. Your heart, now his home. And if you think to yourself, I think he's frustrated with me, Matt. I think Jesus is frustrated with me. Like, he's been waiting there like my whole life. And some of you had this thought, like, Jesus is saying, what took you so long? I'm just telling you, your mom might speak that way to you. Your dad might say that to you. Jesus will never say that to you. He's not saying that to you now. You haven't frustrated him. You're not exasperating him. He's a gentleman, and he loves you. He's your dad. He loved you. You welcome him into your heart right now. I'm telling you, his heart says, I'm so glad. I'm so happy. Welcome home. The Bible says if you do that, the first thing you ought to do is you ought to tell somebody. You ought to confess that to somebody. You ought to say to somebody with like skin on, like I know you just talked to God and you know you just asked Jesus, but you ought to say to somebody with skin on, I just did that. I just asked Jesus into my heart. So there's a prayer team up here at the front, and I want you to find one of these guys before you leave. You say, I don't know them. Listen, for what it means, whatever it means, I know them. And they're good friends of mine. I love them. I trust them. That's why I've asked them to do this. Before you leave, would you just find one of these guys and gals and just say, hey, I did it today. They just want to be the first to rejoice with you. They're not going to embarrass you. They're not going to take up too much of your time. They just want to know your name, that today was your day, and just to make sure you, in this incredibly huge decision, and there's somebody that's happy for you and tells you about it, tells you so. They're up here for anybody else who just would like prayer. Maybe what you're going through, maybe what's been tripping you up. They're here to help you, to encourage you and pray for you any given Sunday. So, Father, thank you for the beginning of this series. Thank you for a new playbook that we can learn. And I'm grateful, and I want to say in advance, I thank you for the miracles that are going to take place. The lives are going to be changed. And new hope, not based upon a feeling, but based upon truth and the reality of truth, leading us into freedom. We thank you for that. That is our birthright in Jesus. We embrace it. We claim it. We will own it. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you back next week. Children's Church Inside Out starts. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you bring your kids.